You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Neil Young and Crazy Horse. I wanna live with a sinner. Love Earth Tour. July 29th, Utah First Credit Union Amphitheater. A rare opportunity to see Neil Young and Crazy Horse live. Always in high fidelity. On sale now at Ticketmaster. More information at neilyoungarchives.com.
Who's got it better than us?
No!
Your home for the best sports coverage in Utah. You're listening to Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Big day for Utah. Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. The National Hockey League is coming to town, and we're very excited about our next guest. He is a hockey insider for Sportsnet and the NHL Network. He is Elliot Friedman, with us here on Jake and Ben. Elliot, thank you so much for a few minutes. How are you?
My pleasure, guys. Welcome to the National Hockey League.
Well, we couldn't be more excited, honestly. It's just been a party in Salt Lake, and it's all over the radio, obviously, and we've been thrilled about it for the last week and a half, 2 weeks. But that's what's amazing. That's when this all started. This hasn't been 6 months, 12 months, a year. Like, this kind of broke that, hey, this Morello stuff is not working well. He wants to buy this land, but they're not really on board in Arizona, and now it's here. Has it been that fast for the NHL too, or do you think this is a longer process to get this team to Salt Lake City?
Well, I think it really changed last May. Last May was when Arizona was trying to, was going through a referendum in Tempe to get an arena built. And leading into it, all of the news out of the hockey team was positive. We're going to win. We're going to win. We're going to get this land. And they got clobbered. They lost pretty badly. And I think that was a real smack in the face of realization to a lot of people, and especially the NHL. And they kind of had to step back and reassess, but definitely their tone changed towards the Coyotes. Not Arizona as a market. I think they're going to go back there someday, but the tone changed toward this particular organization. And it basically became, what does this mean? And you know, the commissioner was telling the governors that they would know early in 2024 about the future. The players were putting a lot of pressure through their leadership about this can't continue. I think there were a lot of owners who felt this couldn't continue. But, guys, there were a lot of stops and starts. You would hear a lot of rumors right around the All-Star break, which was the beginning of February, that something's going on here. And it would stop and start. And now with 2020 hindsight, we know this really, really heated up at the beginning of March, the first week of March. And they really wanted to get it done by yesterday and today. They wanted it done as soon as possible after Arizona's season, and they wanted to announce it before the start of the playoffs, which is tomorrow. So it was a real runaway train. But I don't think they really knew that this was the way they were going to go until the beginning of March. And I don't think they really knew that there was a good chance it was going to happen until about 2 weeks ago.
I think it's pretty savvy, Elliot, and I kind of am calling it a little bit of the lifeboat strategy that Ryan Smith took and just said, hey, we're available. We're here and we can make it happen. So let's do this thing. I thought, you know, get the franchise here and get it in the door. Don't worry about expansion this or whatever, but just make it happen. And I think it's bold of him to be in the position to do so.
Well, they wanted Ryan Smith. Yeah. You know, it broke about a year ago. It was a little over a year ago. I count it. Today is 388 days, actually, since Ryan Smith went for dinner with Gary Bettman after an NBA Board of Governors meeting in New York City. And I think they'd met at least once before, but I think that was the time where they really nailed it down and said, I'm interested, and he wanted to be in the league. And when news started to get out that Smith had met with Bettman, there were a lot of people around the NHL who wanted him in. He's the kind of person you want in your league. He's a bright, aggressive guy. And him and his wife, Ashley, they've done you know, obviously Smith Entertainment Group, they know what they're doing. And I think people, the momentum built to have them in. I think he was always going to be in the league. The thing that Ryan Smith had always said was he preferred expansion. And I had a couple of people tell me this week, like the one thing, the bonus you guys are really getting with this Coyotes team is they have a lot of really good young players. They have a lot of draft picks. They're on the way up. You know, they were playing pretty well this year until things broke in January that they could be leaving, and they lost 14 games in a row. And, you know, they learned from that. When things broke again last week, they had four really good performances at the end of the season and won three of those games against some good teams. But they're on the way up, and I think that also appealed to Smith. Like, I had some owners who told me they're not as certain this would have happened this quickly if it wasn't the team going in the right direction. But the clear thing was is that the NHL's best option to keep that team going was him. I don't think there was really anything else that was close in terms of having an arena built, even though they have to upgrade it, of a situation that was as ready-made, about an owner that was as enthusiastic at the price point that they paid as Ryan Smith was. He was the right guy at the right time.
So, Elliot, I want to ask you, because everything I've seen from you, everywhere I've heard, is that, yeah, the NHL wants to be in the Ryan Smith business. Is he? Yep. Is that because he's similar to other NHL owners, or is he dissimilar from other NHL owners? Like, is there a common thread through them that is missing Ryan Smith, or where he fits in?
You know, it's a great question. I would say he's dissimilar. You know, the NHL is a league where the owners tend to be very quiet. Like, there are some times, like, I'll watch, like, for example, I'll watch coverage of the NHL ownership meetings, you know, on TV or wherever. And, you know, like, the meeting ends, and Jerry Jones is looking for the cameras. And Jim Irsay was running to the cameras. And I was like, boy, why can't we get that? Because in the NHL, they all run away from the cameras. And Bettman and his deputy commissioner, Bill Daly, they do a lot of the talking. And so I think, you know, the amount that he's been out there, I would say that he's probably less similar to a lot of NHL owners. And the reason I think a lot of people think that's a good thing is because I think the NHL generally tends to be a pretty conservative league. And I think, I know that we would like to see some other owners be out there a bit more. Now, I can guarantee you this, Bettman doesn't want guys setting off headlines every day like a Jerry Jones would. But I think they like the fact that he's a little bit younger, he comes from a different generation of ownership, and he's obviously very smart and very successful. And as you guys know, you know, Salt Lake City, although they're going to call the team Utah, it's a really growing market, and you want to be part of that.
Elliot Friedman is with us from Hockey Insider for Sportsnet and NHL Network. Ben and I, as you can imagine, are you know, frantically trying to learn as much as we can about the Coyotes. And so I'm curious, from your standpoint, what's your take on their front office and specifically Bill Armstrong?
Well, you know, one thing I'll tell you is that Bill looks like he could beat up a lot of the other GMs in the league. He's a big guy. He used to play. Bill, as a matter of fact, one thing you could ask him about, and he will be happy you ask him about this. One, there's our junior league here, which is the number one. It's sort of like our NCAA that feeds up players to the NHL. It's called the Canadian Hockey League. The championship game is known as the Memorial Cup. And that's the championship tournament and the championship game. And when Bill was a player, he played for a team called the Oshawa Generals. He was on the same team as Eric Lindros, who's in the Hall of Fame and was a number one pick about 30 years ago. And they went to one of the longest overtime games in the history of the Memorial Cup. And he scored the winning goal. And he still lives off that. So he'll love it if you mention that. One thing about Bill Armstrong is he has a very sharp eye for talent. He's always been very good at identifying young players. He was good at that in St. Louis. He's coached before. You know, he's very good at identifying talent, and the Coyotes have a lot of good young players and a lot of picks. And he's done a good job with that, and you guys will benefit. The head coach, Andre Tournier, he's a really good coach. He's done a very good job in very difficult circumstances. A lot of their young players have gotten better, which is what you want out of your coach. And I'm not surprised that Utah would want to bring them both and keep them and see how they develop in Utah. I'm curious to see. I've heard they may add to their front office. I'm curious to see what that's going to mean. But I think that they are potentially looking at adding. Now, the other thing you guys should know is you're in the Central Division. That's one of the toughest divisions in the league. I mean, you have three absolute powerhouses at the top of it in Colorado, Dallas, and Winnipeg. And two of them, Colorado and Winnipeg, are playing in the playoffs this year against each other. And Dallas is the number one team in the Western Conference. I mean, that is a tough, tough division. So it will be a challenge.
Four young players on the roster that get a lot of attention that we've heard a lot about. Logan Cooley, Clayton Keller, yep. Dylan Gunther, Josh Doan. When you're building a team and you're like hoping these guys develop, are we talking about you hope one of these guys is one of the 10 best players in the league? Do they even have that potential? Do you hope to have three top 100 players? Like, how does that work when you arrive and when these young players pay off?
Well, I think the thing is that, number one, the draft is such a crapshoot because, you know, you're drafting at 19 years old and you think you know. But I don't know what you guys were like at 19 years old. Like, at 19, I was the biggest cement head alive. And thankfully, I'm not the same person at 53 than I was at 19. But sometimes it can be a real crapshoot. And I will say this is a really hard league. It's not as physical as it used to be, like fighting down, but it's still a tough league. And the one thing you guys will really notice is that the regular season is not the same as the playoffs. The playoffs are a maximum 28 tough, mean, vicious games. And you can't play a full 82 like that. You will see some hard games. You're going to see some great hockey. You're going to see some great skill. But I really do think when the playoffs start, the players go to another level of what they're willing to do. So sometimes, like, it's a big adjustment. You can see players adjust fast during the regular season, and the first time they go into the playoffs, you look at it and you say, holy smokes, like, this is a new level that I've never even contemplated before. I've heard a lot of players tell me that. I think that, Cooley, he could have been the number one pick the year he went third. He really could have. I think he has a chance and a decent chance, a better than decent chance, to be the best player in that draft. I think he's really talented. I think he's a competitive guy, and I think he has a chance to be a real star. I think that Gunther, in the last couple weeks, I've been incredibly impressed. He was a high pick. I think he was ninth overall. I saw him in Vancouver last week against a really good team, have a 4-point game. To me, of those four players you mentioned, Cooley's got the highest ceiling, but Gunther could be a really good player. Keller, he's more of a veteran. I have a ton of respect for Clayton Keller because 2 years ago, he suffered a very serious knee injury. And I know people that when they saw him leave the ice that night and they heard what the injury was, there were people who thought he might never play again. And he was there at the start of next season, and he was an all-star that next season. He's a quiet guy. He doesn't say a lot, but he's really determined. He's older than those other guys. He's an all-star level player. He's, like I said, a quietly really determined, good player. Ryan Smith met with the players yesterday, and I didn't speak to everyone, but I think some of those guys, because of the way this happened, they were a little bit wary. I heard he blew them away. I heard he really sent a good message. The people I communicated with came out of it with a very positive feeling. I think Keller is going to be one of the guys that you're going to want, that Smith is going to want to say, we really need you here, because I think he's one of the real leaders of the team. Doan, He's a legacy in Arizona. His father is the greatest player in the history of the franchise. He's also made it to the NHL faster than I think a lot of people thought. He's not going to be as big of a star as a Cooley is or a Gunther is, but he's a really good player.
So Ryan Smith has been kind of tweeting out there a running tally of how many deposits have been put down for season tickets. And I saw a report like a half an hour ago, it's up to 20,000 or something crazy. And as you've covered the NHL and watched it expand and move to new markets, and we've seen successes, you know, Vegas obviously comes to mind, how successful that has been. But we've seen a couple of failures too. Is there a recipe for success you've seen with these new markets? Something that, you know, fans who really want this to succeed here can kind of take a blueprint from?
Well, I think there's a couple of things. Number one, you know, early on, there's always the curiosity of the new sport. I mean, it's not new to you guys. I mean, you know, Utah's had a good hockey history, but there will be a curiosity factor about the new team. And I have found that when you and the other thing, too, is even though you're going to be in a really tough division, you're not starting from scratch. And that will help you a bit. Like, this team is close. Like, a couple years ago, they were not ready to try to win. Now they're getting closer to that. They're not, like, still, it's going to be a battle. Like I said, top division, young players, but they're getting closer. That's going to help. The number one thing, though, I always really feel, guys, is, and you guys have seen this with the Jazz. You've had years where you guys have been great, and you've had years where you guys have been not great. But at the end of the day, do people leave the game feeling like they've had a good experience? I always like some of the, because you're not going to win every year. You're going to have to rebuild at times. You're going to have to change who you are at times. So the thing you have to do at that point, and I've seen this be a problem in some NHL markets, is that you have to say to people, you're going to lose. We're going to give you a good show. And look, the way Smith has talked, he's very well aware of that. I understand that the Utah Jazz have a very good program for getting young kids to play the sport. You're going to have to do the same thing with the fans for hockey. You know, make sure whether it's ball hockey or ice hockey, whatever it is, young people are invested in the sport and play. I mean, the best marketing is winning. If you're a bad team for a long time, nobody's going to care. But I think you guys are on the way up, and as long as people feel that they're getting value for their dollar, you're always going to be successful.
All right, Elliot, I'm going to ask you the dumbest question you're going to get asked today. In the NBA, you know, 25 points per game, 30 points, that's an elite score. 10 assists is an elite number. 12 rebounds, an elite number. When we're talking hockey, what are elite goal numbers? What are elite assist numbers from an individual player? What's an elite point total for an individual player that we should be watching and understand the lingo that way?
Well, first of all, I don't think that's a dumb question. I have asked a lot worse questions than that. I'll tell you that. Secondly, I would just say, look, like, you guys are new. You guys don't know everything. So nothing's a dumb question. So for a long time, the NHL went through a scoring drought. The defenses were too good, too much interference. But luckily, we've gone away from that. It's kind of like the bad boy Pistons era. They wanted that, and it created more offense in the NBA. So the magic number for goals is generally 50, okay? So Austin Matthews of the Toronto Maple Leafs, who's Arizona-born, he scored 69 goals this year. That is the highest total in an NHL season since 1993, when two players had 76. 69 goals, if you're doing that, you're a star. But generally, we look at 50. If you score 50 goals, that's a magic number. 100 points is a magic number. People get 100 points in a season, so you're basically at, you know, 1.25 points per game. That's a great number. This year, I think we had three guys at 130 points, Connor McDavid from Edmonton, Nathan MacKinnon from Colorado, and Nikita Kucherov from Tampa Bay. That's the first time we've had three players over that number, I think, in about 30 years. Clarence went away for a while, but it's coming back. The young players today, and those guys aren't young, but they're younger, they are more skilled than ever. They do more skill work than ever, and they can do things that we've never seen before. So if you get a 50-goal player, a 100-point player, those are the numbers I think a lot of people would consider really elite.
Elliot, we've got to take advantage of having you on the show with the playoffs here. Yep. Give us a breakdown. Who do we like?
Well, I'm a big enough NBA fan. I broke in covering the NBA. So I'm not going to tell any Utah fans to root for a team from Colorado. I'm not going to tell any Utah fans to root for a team from Dallas. Vegas is the defending Stanley Cup champion. They're reeling going into the playoffs. They haven't looked great, and they've got three big injuries, and we'll see who shows up for game one of the playoffs. But if they're healthy, you do not discount them, even though they're the defending Stanley Cup champions, they're very deep. The best team in the NHL in the regular season were the Rangers from New York. The teams I really like are the Rangers, Carolina, the Florida Panthers, and I really like Dallas in the West. 1-20, I think they're the best team, but they've got Vegas in the first round. So I think that's going to be a huge challenge for them.
Hey, last question before we let you go. I'm just curious about the star players. We talk about guys like Connor McDavid. We saw him in the Coyotes finale. We know Bedard is the big rookie coming in, the two Connors. Is McDavid the LeBron of the NHL, and it's going to be his league for the next 5 years? Is Bedard on the rise? Like, how does that work in the NHL?
Well, it's actually funny you mentioned that. Like, our awards voting is due today at 5 o'clock, and we make all our votes public. That's one of the things, is if you vote for the NHL awards, one of the things you have to agree in is that your vote will be made public after the awards are handed out. And I'm going to tell you, this year, guys, we are going to get destroyed, the voters. I think it's the hardest Hart Trophy vote. Hart Trophy is the MVP of the league. It's the hardest Hart Trophy vote that we've ever had. I would say the LeBron of the NHL, even though the team didn't make the playoffs this year, is Sidney Crosby of the Pittsburgh Penguins. He's kind of the gold standard. He just had an incredible season at age 36, but the team just wasn't good enough, and they missed the playoffs. He's kind of the guy that everybody follows behind. And this generation of players, they all kind of grew up idolizing him. He's won 3 Stanley Cups. He's won 2 Olympic gold medals. He's won a World Cup, which is kind of like an international tournament that's best on best across the countries. Like, when you kind of talk about the 5 greatest players in hockey history, they talk Wayne Gretzky, they talk Mario Lemieux, they talk Gordie Howe, who played till he was 52 years old, they talk Bobby Orr, who was the greatest defenseman of all time, and they talk about Maurice Richard, who was a goal scorer for the Montreal Canadiens and one of the first great goal scorers in NHL history. Now there's talk that Crosby will break into that group. That when he retires, he will be seen as one of the top 5 or 4 of all time. And nobody came close to breaking that conversation. But I think now, when you look at the next generation, I think McDavid, because of what he can do, is kind of seen as the number one guy. He's the most dangerous, explosive player. But you guys know how it goes. You got to win. And he burns to win, and he's going to try to do it this year. They open up against LA.
He is the Hockey Insider for Sportsnet and the NHL Network. He is a huge deal. Elliot, we really appreciate you coming on the show. I think you're now tied with Steve Wojciechowski as the biggest celebrity we've had on. So we really appreciate you.
you guys got to do better than that. You know what? I'll tell you this. The players who are coming in, like, there are some like Keller's a really really quiet guy, but he's a great story. Lawson Krause, like, there are some good talkers on that team, and believe me, it won't be too long till I am far eclipsed by some of the players that you're going to be dealing with.
Well, Elliot, we appreciate you and your very valuable time. So thank you very much for coming on with us.
Thank you so much.
No worries, guys. Have a great day and congratulations again.
Hey, thank you, Elliot. Appreciate it. The great Elliot Friedman, again, Sportsnet and NHL Network.
What more could you ask for? That was awesome.
Yeah, so yeah, cool.
That was great. Thanks for answering all of my terrible questions and just trying to get to know this league. And I suspect I am like a lot of native Utahns who have known about hockey and have had it on and grew up with it, but haven't studied it, haven't watched it like this. And man, we have a very, very smart basketball fan base here. I have no doubt that we will catch up on hockey very quickly.
It seems to me, and he had this sentiment, but I've heard this from several, you know, people in the hockey world. You got to get your hands around it. You got to experience it, get there, see it, see how fast it is, and then it's easy to kind of fall into it. So I'm pretty excited about that. I think it makes a great point about youth hockey. I think that has potential for a tremendous growth around here as it becomes more accessible. And if you could do a, you know, junior Jazz type of league, I mean, I don't know if people know this, Ben, but the junior Jazz is the most successful thing of its kind in the country.
Anywhere. Yeah.
Just like the Celtics don't have the junior Celtics and it goes like that. It's a huge deal.
Find somebody who grew up in Utah who didn't play junior Jazz.
Everybody did.
You will not find it.
Yeah.
You will not find it. And
Kevin Young probably played junior Jazz.
I'm sure he did.
Yeah.
Yeah. I promise you he did. Of course he did. He's a basketball guy.
Right.
In Salt Lake. Yeah. He did. We all know he did. Hatch just walked in. Hatch played junior Jazz.
Yep.
You played junior Jazz.
I did.
I played junior Jazz.
Like, everybody did.
It's a part of our culture.
Sarah is from Florida, and she probably played junior jazz.
Yeah. So I'm excited to see, because hockey will pick up. Hockey will absolutely be picked up. And if it's not in an ice rink, it's going to be street hockey. Like, you're going to see hockey sticks everywhere. It's just going to be a part of our culture now. And I'm thrilled for that. I love that. I can't wait to see it. And it's here. And Elliot Friedman was absolutely terrific.
Yeah, that was great. Big thanks to him for jumping on. We'll have more coming up next. Stay tuned. Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The murder of two men forces their families to wrestle with impossible questions. Who is forgiveness for? Does everyone deserve a second chance? Follow season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whether it's the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, or Aggies, these guys have got you covered.
Time to eat, fellas.
You're locked on to Jake Scott and Ben Anderson.
1, 2, 3,
on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Join the Saturday show coming up tomorrow at the Uinta Golf Demo Days, 10 to noon at Mulligan's, 106 South, 692 West in South Jordan. First 100 people in the gate will get free lunch and enter to win free gear from Uinta Golf. Let's get out to the Zone phone joining us now. Of course, you see him on Channel 5, KSL. He was down at Phoenix covering the Coyotes' final game, and he's our good buddy, Sam Farnsworth. What's happening, Sam?
What's going on, guys?
You were down in Arizona covering the final game. What has this week been like, and what have these last few days been like?
A little bit of a whirlwind, right? I'm sure for you guys, too. But, yeah, I mean, just going down there and kind of experiencing firsthand what it was like for a lot of these fans right now, what they're experiencing is, they're now losing their hockey team, right? There's just a lot of emotion from that standpoint. A lot of confusion still with employees of the team that they still didn't know a lot of the details and what was going on. You know, the people that we had spoken with, they expressed a lot of just like, oh, we know about as much as you do type sentiment. And I was really surprised by that. It just shows the disconnect between ownership and upper management with the rest of that team. But, yeah, it was really, really interesting to see kind of just the whirlwind there and just kind of what the players had to deal with as they were just trying to wrap up their season.
I want to know what you did, Sam, when that Salt Lake Sucks chant came raining down from the crowd. Did you lob the bird? Did you do Enes Kanter style, you know, hold your hand to the ear? Did you say, no, you suck? I want to know what you did.
I was looking for a place to hide really quick. You know, I'm like, uh-oh. Hostile environment. That at first I didn't catch on to it. Someone else pointed out to me that, did you hear what they're saying? I'm like, I had to take a second listen. And I was like, wow, you know, but you know what? One thing I thought was really impressive was for one of their players, his name's Josh Stone. He's a homegrown kid. He grew up in Arizona. His dad's an Arizona Coyotes legend. You know, he's a rookie with the team right now. He played his college hockey at Arizona State. So he's Arizona born and bred through and through, right? And yet, when we were talking to him in the end of season media availability, he mentioned that Salt Lake doesn't suck. he said Salt Lake's a pretty good place. You know, our fans were saying things that I'm sure they don't really mean it. They're just, you know, emotional with the situation right now. He's like, we certainly don't have any hate for Salt Lake City or for Utah. We're excited to get there, but. Yeah, you know, and it's like I don't blame the fans because they're the victims in this, right? They're just kind of chanting with their emotions on their sleeves.
So yeah, the players and the coaches, and I know you've been able to talk to a lot of people down there. Do you think they couldn't celebrate because obviously this was a tough area for the fans and to sit and watch that happen? Do you think there was some optimism there? Do you think there was some excitement to try something new?
Yes, for sure. I think the players were treading lightly at the same time because they understand that the fan base that had supported them for so long. It's not like it's the players' fault. It's not like it's the players that are turning their back on the fan base, right? So they expressed a lot of their sympathy for the fans that, you know, this really sucks for them and, you know, we love it here and all this, but every single player that we spoke with both after the game and the following day, yesterday in their end of season media availability, every single one of them talked about how they're excited to come to a market where the fans are ready to embrace them, where an ownership group
is ready for them with a plan for the future, not just kind of a plan for the next week or whatever, you know, and they actually have a plan for the future of the franchise. And all of those like sentiments came out of these players that they were excited that, you know what, we actually get to go play hockey in a real arena now where fans are going to be loud and cheer for us and where there's actually an opportunity for us to play for something instead of just kind of go month to month, season to season in this college arena trying to make things work.
Sam, of course, you are Utahn, but you did spend some time in Denver. And with that kind of perspective in mind, what do you think this says about the growth of our community?
I mean, it's great. It definitely says that. I think what it says the most is that Utah, our market, Salt Lake City, our state, we're all just sports hungry, right? Everyone loves sports here. And it started, you can go all the way back to 2002 when we got the Winter Olympics. That was kind of the first real sign that this state, this community, they love being in the spotlight. They love being in the world's eye view when it comes to athletics and sports. And I think this just shows, again, that we're ready. We're ready for big things, like what Ryan Smith was saying last year when they got the All-Star game, that, you know, Utah's ready to host big things. And here we are now, right? We've got an NHL team coming to town, and I think it just reflects the growth of our market. It reflects the hunger and the desire for professional sports in our market, and the hunger and the desire to be seen and to prove that we can be on that same stage as all these bigger markets.
Sam, we know you just rolled back into town. We appreciate you and all your work on this story, but having a few minutes to stop by the show. We appreciate you, buddy.
Thanks, Sam.
Yeah, no problem, guys. We'll see you.
See you, Sam. Sam Farnsworth, KSL Channel 5, and he's been all over this thing.
We sent Sam down there. We sent Kyle Ireland down there. Ton of coverage. Been really exciting, and I think it's going to continue throughout. I'm excited to see where everything lands next year, and next year meaning 3 months from now, 4 months from now, when this really kicks off, and it's going to be a whirlwind. I'm sure Ryan Smith has his work cut out for him over the next several months to get this done, and not just Ryan, everybody who works for Ryan and that whole organization is going to be...
Well, it's a tall task for sure.
All hands on deck. And you know who I'm thinking is going to love this? Danny Ainge. He's got this whole distraction over here. Danny's going to really get his mitts into the Utah Jazz this summer. Yeah, you're busy. I'll take care of this.
I'm going to cut the whole team.
I'll handle this. You worry about hockey. I'm going to reshape this basketball team to really look like how I want it to.
All right.
That's been going on already.
What? The dismantling the team?
Danny Ainge. We talked about this, not to get so off track, but the Quinn Snyder resignation press conference was not the Quinn Snyder resignation press conference. It was the Danny Ainge land claim of, this is my team now. This is going to look how I want it to.
Oh, yeah, sure.
He did most of the talking at Quinn Snyder's resignation, and I thought was fascinating. And again, I'm not going to speak for you. I think Danny's probably the right guy for the job. There's not many people I would hire ahead of Danny, if anybody, actively working in the NBA. But it's going to be an interesting summer because Ryan Smith is going to be so dedicated to one thing and all these, you know, all this attention that he's going to have to put out there for hockey that the Jazz are going to be a little bit unique.
Well, you don't hire Danny Ainge to not let him do the job. That's what I always thought was such a good sign about Ryan Smith as an owner. You know, when Jerry Jones was hiring a front office guy, he said,
"Tell me I'm right."
It's me.
Yeah.
Tell
me how smart I am.
I am the front office guy. No, you go out and Ben, if you started a new business, you know, in restaurant management, I'm sure you'd, or a new restaurant, I'm sure you'd go out and hire the best dang manager you can and then stay out of the way because you know nothing about running a restaurant.
Yeah. One of the things that Elliot Friedman talked to us about that I thought was really fascinating is how shy and quiet NHL owners are, which is actually how things were for every owner basically everywhere for a really long time. There were the exceptions, the Al Davises, the Jerry Joneses you mentioned. But like NBA owners were not front and center until Mark Cuban came and was like, "Hey, it's the Mark Cuban show. Watch this." Now, Mark has proven to be a great owner. He won a title in Dallas, where Dallas was an absolute disaster of a program my entire life growing up. It was just a joke of a basketball team, and he turned it around. I could see Ryan Smith spearheading that type of attention and making Utah cool, and the way Mark Cuban made the Dallas Mavericks cool. If he could make the Utah hockey team cool and a breath of fresh air compared to the previous owner, Morello, who was maybe the worst owner in in hockey and one of the worst owners in professional sports, that's a huge plus, and that can be a real benefit.
I have a theory for you on why hockey owners are a little more quiet. You remember the lockout back in 04, 05, mm-hmm. where they lost a season and a half? No owner wants to be known at that point.
Yeah,
if
right.
you're really going that
deep.
That deep.
Yep.
You want to stay out of the headlines. And Gary Bettman was the one that caught all the heat for that. And that's the commissioner's job. And as a result, they have an absolute stranglehold over the collective bargaining process. So I wonder if the fallout is owners being like, we'll let Gary be the bad guy.
Yeah, that's a very good point. I'm sure that's a very good point. And you know what? Another reason why they would welcome a fresh young face. Ryan,
good point.
Who can go on Pat McAfee's show, go on Armpit's show, and talk. And people be like, oh, yeah, I've seen him. I mean, they were showing his picture this morning.
Yeah.
They don't show the owner of everyone who's buying a team or when a team's moving, but Ryan is a face around professional sports now in North America, and that's going to only grow. And I suspect he will not back away from staking that claim.
I'm telling you, every other sport looks at hockey's collective bargaining agreement and goes, oh, that's nice.
That's nice. Must be nice. Ooh, a hard cap?
Nice. Yeah. Mm.
A salary cap under $100 million and it's a hard cap? Must be nice.
Boy, yeah. Let's get,
eight-year
let's get
contract.
Some of that. All right, stay tuned. We wrap up the show. Coming up next, Jake and Ben, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The murder of two men forces their families to wrestle with impossible questions. Who is forgiveness for? Does everyone deserve a second chance? Follow season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
The sports you love, the teams you can't live without.
Get a sense of urgency!
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Jake and Ben, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. 50 segment brought to you by Peach Doors and Windows, Utah's premier door and window retailer, combining beauty and technology in doors and windows since 1993. Call them today for your free in-home estimate, 801-566-1255, Peach Doors and Windows. Ben, it's a huge day. Not only did Taylor Swift drop an album, but it was a secret double album. I've not heard it yet, but apparently there's a serious diss track about Kim Kardashian.
Finally.
Take that, Kim.
A Taylor Swift diss track. I hope it's like Ether.
But it does make me look forward to her and Travis Kelce's breakup and the songs that will follow. How many bad football puns do you think there'll be?
I thought you were a touchdown.
Yeah.
You're a fumble.
Listen, I like Taylor Swift and I like her music, but I understand why critics like Sarah think she's a bit on the whiny side.
She's pretty on the nose with her lyrics, with all due respect. Which
it's
is
not
fine.
Very cryptic. No, it's not like you're so vain, you probably think this song is about you. We know who it's about.
Yeah. Yeah.
We didn't have to dig too deep. Apparently in this this diss track, it's called something Amy, but there are three letters that are capitalized in the title, and it's K-I-M.
Oh, well, good for her. Excited last night.
To your point, you don't have to dig too deep.
Yeah. Hey, I don't knock anyone for being excited about anything, you know? Well, some things, but you want to get excited about music. Good music is universally a good thing, right? That's good. Get excited about Taylor Swift's music. I haven't listened. I won't. I don't. It's not a badge of honor or dishonor. Whatever you want to do, but good for Taylor.
You know, the lead singer of Toto was dating Rosanna Arquette when he wrote the song Rosanna. He didn't really dig too deep on that one either.
A hit, though. Unquestionably
a
hit.
But it was like, I think I know who that's about.
Not a lot of guessing involved. You got to be careful with that. But that's a great song, and it's got to be the only song about anyone named Rosanna.
Allegedly, Bob Dylan wrote a song about another woman, and then his wife at the time was not really pleased. So then he wrote a song called Sarah, which was her name, and said in the song, I wrote that song about you! I swear I wrote it about you!
Okay.
It's a good song. It's on the Desire album. It's not bad. That also not too... didn't dig too deep about who he wrote that about.
The band, whose most famous song is The Wait, is written about a woman who Gordon Lightfoot also wrote the song Sundown about, which is about like a uncouth woman you don't want hanging around your house, and is also the same woman who injected John Belushi with his fatal overdose. Like, this woman was notorious.
Good heavens.
In those circles.
Layla is George Harrison's ex-wife, right?
Yeah. It's spicy.
That's rough. Spicy.
Hey, today's show's been so fun. We are so lucky to be able to do this job in general, but days like this that are transformational to our state's future and what downtown area is going to look like, feel like, what we are going to look like as a community, what we're going to gather together over and celebrate. Our opportunity to hold a mirror between fans and this organization is a real pleasure for me personally. I couldn't be more excited about it.
Yeah, it's been awesome. It's really cool. Excited for the future of the show as we now incorporate the National Hockey League into our lexicon. It was fun to have Elliot Friedman on. Again, big thanks to him for jumping on with us. It was fun to talk about Papa John today.
Sure. WTFB. Our favorite Twitter follow.
Yeah, reported. Papa John's a Utahan.
I'm not going to say this. I won't say that. This doesn't feel forced at all. The enthusiasm about hockey is not manufactured. I know certainly on my part, and Jake, I don't think it's on your part either. I think you and I are both legitimately extremely excited to talk about it, have it here, cover it. Our show is going to remain the same show.
Sure.
But... to incorporate this and have it be a part of our identity is something that's going to be really fun, and I think everyone in Salt Lake is going to embrace it. Yep. Sweaty. Very sweaty.
All right. Hans and Scotty G are coming up next. Ben and I will be back on Monday. We'll
more
see
hockey.
You then. Jake and Ben, 97.5, KSL Sports Zone.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.